Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Rachel and her message of, I guess you would say hope in the sense of change and how to handle, you know, diversity and those boiling times of troubles. And I know that she has come from a place of those periods of trouble and she didn't know how to handle herself. And through this ministry, I want to take credit with this ministry that gave her that comfort to realize and to release a lot of issues that are in our lives. I'm speaking a message right now on the grace and the glory of God. And we need to begin to understand how we're saved by grace. And I want to welcome everyone that is here today and those that are listening over the internet and to keep logging on and to get the full effects of this message, because it's truly important for this time that we're living in. Grace, obviously, is a power of salvation, but to understand what grace is a knowledge that pertains to the Spirit. It's spiritual knowledge, not book knowledge, but spiritual knowledge, and we are saved by grace, and I'm going to start releasing grace. Because without the knowledge, God says, my children suffer and are destroyed. And if we don't know how to live through grace, then we don't know how to first fight the enemy, fight darkness, fight the nature of self, and not allow to have the power of God direct us and lead us and guide us. For one, we were born supposedly in sin, but we know now that sin doesn't exist until we create it, until it's birth. And that's done through our enticed, lustful desires and through our debased minds. But we've already learned how those desires of self come to tuition and how we enter into a debased mind. And for those that don't understand what a debased mind is, just to cut it short, someone who is so adamant and knows it all. Someone who is just so boxed in on pride that just cannot receive anything, can't receive correction, can't receive guidance, just is so stubborn and stiff-necked in their ways, and their mind becomes debased. Through lustful desires, it really just, to narrow it down, selfishness. We'll just keep it simple. It's almost self-centered, self-issues. It's all about you, and you know the whole world revolves around you, and that's basically where it comes down to. And you fall into just some kind of things that are not going to be edifying in your own life. With God and how to overcome that, this is where the glory comes in at. And the definition of glory, that I will try to keep it simple, is to uphold a peace, a joy, and a righteousness, where you exceed beyond measures a happiness and a contentment, and that you are without guilt or shame. You are just overwhelmed with success in your heart. You're an overcomer. You have confidence to know that you have defeated all areas of anything that will come against you from trying to steal your life. And that is the realm of glory. I am coming in, I was born a child of glory, so to say. And my life is full of glory. And it's a sense of victory. I'm not defeated. Even though I come to a place of loss, I'm not defeated. I'm always an overcomer. How many people understand that one? Even on our downsides, I'm at a place of victory in the valley, and I'm in a place of victory on the mountain. So I've come to a place of being content in low, hard places and blessings and excitement in high places. And if you can come to that place in your heart, then you have entered into a realm of glory. So just a brief definition of what grace and glory really truly means. So grace is having a spiritual knowledge and understanding to be able to live a life. And then glory is having that life. Well, moving forward, the importance is to truly, and I started this message off, the importance is to acknowledge our Creator, to acknowledge God. And we have to acknowledge God in all things. Right now, we are people that are lost. We have no purpose, and we are lost. And we're walking around trying to figure it out. We're trying to work things out on our own. We're trying to figure things out, and we're basically wearing ourselves down, and we're chasing our tails, and we're getting frustrated because things aren't working out the way you plan, and you're just totally out of glory, and you surely don't have any grace at all, because if you had grace, then it would give you the knowledge that you have no power whatsoever. You know, God opens up doors and God closes doors in our lives. And without Him, we're lost. Without God, we are totally lost and we're not into any salvation. So to really put this into perspective, the concrete of our lives is to understand God and to know who God is. Listen, there are a lot of individuals who confess that they know God. They confess that they have God in their life, but their heart is so far from Him. And that's the important part. I was sharing with some individuals last week, during this week, about there's a language in heaven, and God only hears a certain language. We can speak to Him with our lips, and you would think that God hears you, okay? But God hears a language that is outside of the carnal realm. It's in the heart of an individual. So as far as brokenness, God hears brokenness. Okay, as far as pride, God resists the proud and doesn't even want to have anything to do with it and doesn't even want to pay attention to it, doesn't want to hear it. So to know that, that's grace right there. That knowledge that I just gave you was knowledge under grace. And this is why it's so important in this hour to know how to live under grace so that we can become saved. Salvation isn't, oh, when I die, I'm going to reach that place of an eternal heaven. Salvation is now. Salvation is being able to walk without a heaviness on you, walking through the woods knowing that you can get out of it safely. Salvation is knowing that everything's going to be okay tomorrow. You know, when you walk into a place of worry and fear, you're no different than someone who is lost. Salvation takes away fear. Salvation takes away worry. Salvation brings you into a place of comfort. And without God, you cannot enter into that realm. You can't. You're alone. You're all by yourself. And this is why I emphasize the importance of understanding to start wanting, start desiring to know God. God is a God of faith. God you cannot see with your eyes. He's there by faith and faith only. And it needs to be an awareness of God throughout your day, through a 24-hour period. You need to look up in the sky. You need to look up in your room. You need to look up. And I say look up because somehow or another there has to be an acknowledgement of you seeing or calling upon God. You know, the Bible is a good book, and that book is the only one that I can relate to. And it says, for those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it's so important that our hearts begin to look up, our hearts begin to call upon His name, our hearts begin to acknowledge God on a daily basis, and it's an exercise. We need to exercise our salvation. We need to exercise our works in our heart. We need to exercise. If we don't exercise it, it's going to fade away. It's no different than getting into an exercise program, and if you don't keep up on it on a daily basis, what happens? You just go right back to where you were. And that's the same thing with the gospel message. We have to exercise the acknowledgement of God and constantly have that cry in our heart so that we can be established And then there's something that takes on the power of the Holy Spirit. And I don't talk much about the power of the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to just say it's the power of God, just to make it real simple, because, you know, getting it all confused with the angelic host of heaven and all that other stuff, you know, it's the power of God that begins to work on your behalf. Understand that when you are alone, you're lost. You have no comfort. But when you have somebody walking alongside of you, you have comfort. And God truly is the one who opens up doors and closes doors in your life. Now, how many here have some type of desire in their heart? I mean, let's get real. I have lots of desires, okay? Patience is one of the main ingredients in this, I guess, subject, in the sense of waiting on God. Because those who wait on Him, as we are waiting, He's structuring and creating character. So just know that. He's structuring and creating character for you to obtain the desires of your heart. Right now, we're not prepared to get the desires of our heart. And that, I hope, will comfort you. It's almost like going into boot camp first before you're ready for battle, you know, and prepared to go into service. You have to go through apprenticeship before you're able to go into training, you know, or go into your full course of subject that you're called into. But whatever it is, that apprenticeship requires patience. And so you're an apprentice right now. God wants to give you the desires of your heart. God wants to give you, but we lack patience. And what happens when we lack patience, we tend to murmur and complain, and we tend to fall out of this place called glory. Glory is the essence of bringing everything to you. Glory is the essence of bringing your salvation, bringing that victory, bringing your success, bringing all this into your life. Glory is. And so my objective through this message is to get you to a clear understanding of the importance of having a relationship with God in your life. And without the relationship with God in your life, you're going to be walking around in circles trying to figure out what you're supposed to be doing. God leads a righteous person's footsteps. How do we get righteous in His eyes? For one, we need to acknowledge who He is. We need to continue to look upon His name and see who He is. And I say that there is no God until you begin to create Him. Even though that there is a God, He's not real in your life until you begin to create Him, until you begin to acknowledge Him, until you bring Him into His life. One of the things that bugs me is when people begin to want to know God when everything is like bad in their lives. Well, I want you to know God when everything is good in your lives. Why can't we be, you know, stable in this area in our lives? Now, there's one thing that I want to share with you as far as why we're here, okay? God gave us a free will, and free will has a lot to do with your life being resurrected, your life coming into the fulfillment of God's will, your life being blessed. We live with a heart, and in that heart, you have desires, you have dreams, you have hopes, you have ambitions, you have a future. But you're never going to get that if you don't come to a place where you surrender your will. And I know that this is difficult for a lot of us. I know with me, I fight sometimes, you know, my will. But we have to end up laying it down. And when we came to this earth, God opened the door for us to have a free will, a free choice. And nothing happens to us by accident. It's always by choice. And a lot of times we have to make choices that we may not like. We have to live according to His grace and to His glory. And that requires choices. And those choices we have consequences. Consequences aren't always bad. Consequences could be good too. How many people understand that one? Okay, so there's a reaction to a choice that we make. And a lot of times God is stirring our hearts, and this is why it's important that we begin to acknowledge God, because without the acknowledgement of God, the power of the Spirit of God, the angelic host of God, cannot knock on the door of your heart. So it can't lead you or guide you. It can't make you have those warm and fuzzy feelings or those red flags of alert. You're going to lean on your own understanding. You're going to go into a place called the emotional realm. How many people understand the emotional realm? This is where you lean on your own understanding, and then there's a force of darkness that begins to work in your mind that creates imaginations. And most of these imaginations come back from a very young age. They're dug back up from a very young age based on how you were living your life at a young age and who you were living it with, and if there was a lot of abuse or a lot of torment or a lot of uncertainty or a lot of things that weren't bringing your life into a form of comfort. Those imaginations bring back memories, and subconsciously we tend to create devastation. They're always negative. It's always operating in fear. They're always operating in worry. They're always operating in a form of loss, and we don't want to lose. The soul is always out there to protect itself. How many are following me here? It's important that you follow me, because when the soul is always out trying to protect itself, the soul will then start creating imaginations and begin to justify a lot of actions that are happening in your life. And then there's a form of character that is being deceived. And the last thing we don't want is to be deceived. Now, when we don't have God on the, we'll say at the tip of our lips, if we don't have God on the focus point in our heart, God's heavenly purpose is he begins to release you. It's almost like, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. God begins to release you out there. Now, that's not God's desire. God's desire is not for anybody to suffer or be destroyed. But let me tell you this, God loves us first. And he is basically waiting for us to love him. But he's not going to push his love on you. So he's not going to try to make you love him. How many people understand that one? Okay. So out of respect, we should put our hearts in a place of loving him because he first loved us. And out of respect, we need to show that love. If we don't show that love, he basically says, you know what? I love you, but you're not showing me love, so get away from me. Just move on. And then you become put to a place of where darkness is just waiting. Come on, Lord, let me have that one. Come on, Lord, let me have that one. He's not showing you love. Come on, let me have that one. Let me have that one. And he turns you over to basically your nature, where your nature tends to fall into ideology, and it just falls into temptations, and it falls into lust, and it falls into a debased mind where your pride just rises up, and you know, no one can talk to you, and it's just unrealistic to even be around an individual like that. It's almost to the point where it's like, oh my God, please just go, move on. But when you have that opened heart and that open mind, you're willing to say to your situation, when God begins to open up your door, I don't understand what you're doing, Lord, but I trust in you, and I'm going to go forward and move on. If we don't come to that place in our heart to trust God with all that we have, every bit that is inside of us. We're never going to be able to release things. We're never going to be able to walk away from things that are causing pain or hurt. We're never going to be able to embrace individuals who we might not trust because of the past of our soulish realm where maybe we can't trust anybody. How many have ever come into that point where it seemed like everybody you put your trust in, they turned around and hurt you somehow? And I've seen it in individuals who just have a hard time committing themselves with a significant other, where I've gotten hurt too many times, and you know what, I'm just not going to do it anymore, and I'm not going to trust anybody because I just don't feel like getting hurt anymore. But if you put yourself in a place where you let God be the leader of your life, and you put your whole will down, see, life is a choice. It's almost like this. You want salvation? I'm going to show you the way to salvation, and now it's up to you to choose whether or not you want to follow it or not. Life is a choice, and we need this to make a choice in our lives. Do we like to continue to walk and go in the direction that we're going, or do we want comfort and do we want security in our lives? Do we want wisdom from above and glory, success, and victory? Or do we want to look like be a fool and constantly put ourselves in positions of getting hurt or being lost and confused all the time? Right now, if I had to do an evaluation, because we don't, well, I'll just speak in a whole. I'm not saying we as a general form. I'm saying we as a whole don't have God in our lives right now. We're foolish. We don't have the discernment to make the right decisions. We put our hearts and trust in people, places, and things, and there's failure. And because of that, we don't walk in glory. We walk in lost. We lost in defeat. We are done. How many of us felt that way in the past? This is what salvation is really about. Salvation is allowing God to be number one in our lives. And when we're filled with God, we don't have any more defeat. We know that God is for us, not against us. And what transpires is He opens up the door and we gladly walk in it. He closes the door, and we gladly allow it to close. And the more relationship that you have with God, the stronger, I would say, your discernment, your kingdom is established in your heart. And what I mean by your kingdom established in your heart is you have exceedingly abundant, beyond measure, joy, and peace, and righteousness. I want to look at my own life and say I feel that I am establishing a kingdom in my heart. And I don't need things in the natural to satisfy my life. I say these things so that I cause you to be hungry for what I have. I want you to be hungry. How many of us can honestly say you're filled with a joy? Or you need something to fill your joy? You're filled with a happiness. Or you need something to fill that happiness? Or you walk with some guilt or shame as if you did something wrong? Or you can lift your head up and say, I didn't do anything wrong. Maybe I made mistakes in your eyes, but I didn't make any mistakes in my eyes because I walk with God. See, when you walk with God, He leads you and guides you, and maybe your mistakes look like mistakes in other people's lives, but at the same time, you have a comfort knowing that God is molding you, God is forming you, God is creating character in you, and He's getting you ready for what is about to be. We all have hopes, we all have dreams, we all have ambitions, we all have drives, and God wants to bring them into your life. I see things in individuals' lives where they aren't obtainable. And then yet we start using situations that keep us discouraged. We make excuses. Well, for God, nothing is impossible. And through him, we can do all things. All things. You know, God can give you a sound mind. And let's say I was in a wheelchair and half my body was paralyzed and I wasn't capable of doing the things that I want to do. But God has a way of fulfilling those things. My passion and my desire is still there to do something. But my physical body is incapable of doing it. Well, God gives me the wisdom to be able to bring others that are able to do what my passion is and still is able to fulfill the passion. God opens up my mind, allows me to see creative ideas, and I can come in and think outside of the box. Without God, this is what happens. We live in darkness, and we can only see so far. We put all emphasis on ourselves, and we think that we have to do everything. And we never have the creativity to be able to delegate or to be able to offer anything to anyone, because this is the problem. Pride lives in darkness. Fear lives in darkness. Worry lives in darkness. And when you don't live in darkness, you live in light. So that means that you can trust people. You can humbly ask and be able to ask for help. You'll be able to put your trust in and not worry if that person's going to rob from you or not. You put all your trust in God and you hope that, you know, he has his way and moves upon those people's hearts. How many people are following me on this? It is so important that we put our lives in God and allow him to work things through you. If you put yourself in that situation where there is no God, now you might say there is with your mouth, but in your heart there is no God, then you're never going to accomplish or never fulfill those voids that are in your heart. They'll always be stolen. They'll always be dark. There'll always be a mishap there, and you'll never be filled. Never. And you'll be searching over here, and you'll be searching over there, and you'll be searching over here, and you'll never, ever get filled. You'll never be free from your fears, your worries. If it isn't this situation, it'll be another situation. If it isn't that situation, it'll be another situation. You'll never have glory in your life. You'll never have victory over your life. And it'll always be defeated. And this is why it's so important to understand what it is to have a relationship with God. I know from the past that religion has really hurt the relationship with God. Ministries and denominations and all that stuff. And I know because I was one who judged it. I felt that everybody was a hypocrite. I felt everybody was lying and stealing and cheating. How many had the same feelings I have? And look, now I'm one of those individuals, a minister, trying to bring across a message of the gospel. And here I was one who used to judge those people as far as the hypocrisy, I'll call it. But because of God and how he changed my life, there's sincerity in my heart. And I feel that there's an obligation for the rest of my life. For those who have an ear to hear, hear what the Spirit is saying and find a relationship with God. And as soon as we begin to find this relationship with God, you begin to get a life. You have no life without God, none. And you can continue to think you have a life, and you can continue to lean on your own understanding and you can try to use your own wisdom and try to fight your own way through, and guess what? You're going to be stuck. You're never going to be fulfilled. You're never, never, ever, ever going to fulfill the destiny of your life. If you have to ask yourself something, what really makes up a life? Money? Is it, you know, nice place to live? Is it things? You know, they help. But I know individuals that have those things and still don't have a life. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, they're good to have. And they're necessities. And we need them. So I will never tell you that having a nice home is wrong. I will never tell you to have a nice car or a lot of money is wrong. That's a lie. They are needed. They're necessities. You gotta have them. But the most important thing is having peace. The most important thing is having joy. You can get what you want, and you can receive an earthly glory, but that earthly glory will fade away. You'll end up becoming unhappy again. You'll end up saying, oh yeah, so what? I got my house. Now I'm going to go for a bigger one. Because that one was done through a natural glory. You accomplished it and you overcame it in your own power. How would you like to accomplish and overcome in God's power, where once you receive it in God's power, that glory remains? That's what I'm talking about. And then what happens is you end up learning contentment. You learn to be content in all things. And because you have learned to be content in all things and you're continuing to worship and glorify God in that relationship that you're establishing, guess what? God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So as you diligently seek Him, next minute you know, you're being rewarded without even trying to be rewarded. All of a sudden, the desires of your hearts are beginning to be fulfilled as you diligently seek Him. It's no longer working in your glory, but working in His glory. And His glory remains. I want His glory. I want His glory here on earth, and then I want His glory when I leave this earth, because that glory will remain. I always used to say that the condition that you're in today is going to be the condition that you are in eternity. Things aren't going to change. If your heart is upset and miserable and full of fear, guess what? Your heart's going to be miserable, upset, and full of fear when you leave this earth. It's not like you're going to hit all of a sudden this realm of heavenly glory and you'll be like, ooh, and you're in this glorified body and then all the sickness and diseases that you carried are gone. No, they're going to be with you for an eternal realm. But before I even think about the eternal realm, wouldn't you like your life now? Wouldn't you like to have your life in glory now? Now, I wish this was like a quick fix message where all of a sudden you begin to start putting God in your life and, you know, next week you're going to reach the pinnacle of, you know, glory. But that's not going to happen. I'm sorry. You got to work out this salvation. And this salvation, depending on you, depending on your choices, depending on how much you want to surrender your will, because it has a lot to do with surrendering will. When you make the right choice by bringing God into your life, depending on how quickly you do it, the quicker your glory will come to you. But if you procrastinate and do it once a week, or, you know, whenever you feel like lifting your eyes up, or whenever you want to have Him on the edge of your heart, it might take years. It may never happen. And then what happens is, of course, pride comes in and that debased mind comes in and you put yourself as one who walks with righteousness and you don't want to be wrong and you cover it up and you end up becoming angry and resentment and bitterness, and then guess what? It's everybody else's fault. We need to take responsibility for our own life. When are we going to take responsibility of our own life? And this is what I want to kind of end with the message today. It's time for us to take a responsibility of our lives and begin to that place and say, you know what? Who am I going to live for? Who am I going to live for? Am I going to conduct myself this way and then pretend nothing ever happened? Am I going to conduct my life, or am I going to make things better? Realize that I wasn't walking in the life that I should be walking, and I really need to connect with God. You know, there's a lot of people that are listening right now over the web, over the internet, and maybe even a recorded tape. And I want to speak to those that are listening, and I want to say it's time to stop playing games. If you hear my voice, then God is knocking on your door to have him first in your life. It's almost like he's pleading and calling for you to change and make that change and come to that place for him so that he can bless you beyond measure. He wants to bless you beyond measure. God is like, I want to give you the desires of your heart. I want to put you in that place of success and glory because you'll glorify me. When you see that all your blessings came through me, you tried it on your own and you saw where it got you. Now when you put your all devotion on me, you're going to find out that I will pour out a glory on you, and all you'll be able to do is to glorify my name and be a testimony for me. That's what God wants to do. He wants to use you for a testimony of him. How do you declare God's name? How do you share with others? How does God get his name out there? The only reason why I'm proclaiming his name and sharing these things with you is because what he has done in my life. There is no gain whatsoever other than the glory of God. And I want to carry his glory wherever I go. I know that I'm going to be okay. Can you say that in your own heart? I know for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, me and my desires of those others that are in my life are going to be okay. That's glory. That's the glory of God. I have no fear and I have no worry about tomorrow. That's the glory of God. And why is that? Because I've given my life to him. I laid my will down to him. People are going to, you know, come against it and say things and try to make your day horrible. Yes, that's not going to stop. But wipe the dust off your feet and move on. You don't have to subject yourself. See, when you get to that place, you don't have to appease anybody. You don't have to try to win anybody. You don't have to try to do anything to anyone. You just live your life for God. And he'll work things out. He'll draw what he needs to draw to you. He'll take away what he needs to take away from you. God is looking for you to be content with him. And when you come to a place of being content with him, then all of a sudden, you have more than you can handle. You have so much, an overabundance beyond what you can comprehend or even imagine. God is looking to bless you. If you hear my voice right now, whether it's on live on the internet, or if you're here in this place called the Glory Barn, or if you hear me on a recorded message, God wants to bless you abundantly beyond what you can comprehend or imagine. And that is the truth, or I would never say it. The problem is we're not putting him first in our heart. And it starts this way. You can even say good morning to him if you want. I don't say good morning, I just say, you know, I always have that praise in my heart. Okay, God, you know, it's like, it is. What are you doing today kind of thing? what should I do today? Kind of wait on him to get moved, to get motivated, to have that power of God in my life to get me through and to accomplish and to allow that light come into my mind so that my mind is clear and focused and have a discernment and to be able to discern what is going on and whether I stay or whether I go, whether I get up and do or whether I sit and stay, no matter what it is. And only let God lead and guide and direct. If you do that in your heart, you're going to see things. You're going to begin to see things. And maybe you might not see natural things, but you'll see spiritual things. And what I mean by spiritual things, you'll be content. You'll have peace. It's almost like silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, rise up and walk. You have a sense that you become on top of the mountain and nothing can pull you down, nothing. This is where I feel led in my heart to bring all of us to. Myself, even more so, and then you. How many of us want to reach that realm of glory? How many of us are just like, you know what? I want this place of peace, joy, and righteousness. And in the same situation, your desires. And they do come. But it takes work. And how many of us are willing to work? We need to work out our salvation. It's not like you come to the altar and, okay, God, I want to give you my life. And then all of a sudden, things are going to change. There's a thing called testing. All of a sudden, hell might break loose in your life. Who are you going to cry to? God wants you to cry to him. God wants us to humble ourselves and cry to him. He wants to be needy. And if we allow God to be a part of our life, then watch what he does. He'll turn things around. Amen. I'm going to call Pastor Sam up. I have a feeling he has something stirring inside his heart. And I want him to just kind of close our service tonight. And then I think I might speak into a couple of people's lives. I just feel that God is sharing some things in my heart. And I want to be able to release those things in your life. And I'm going to have Sam with me as we I want to say minister, but I want to minister right into your seat. How many people are willing to take a word from the Lord? Amen.
Amen. I'll be quick. The Lord had me in conviction, because that's how he talks to us. And our whole goal here in this ministry is to bring you to God, or to introduce you to God already in you. See, he's already written a life in every one of us. And the directions we're supposed to take are in us. But we're just not hearing right. We're just not focused on the right voice. You know, the Bible says that Elijah was looking for God's direction. And he went into a cave. And the lightning struck loud. But God's voice wasn't in the lightning. And it said the rains came horribly. But God's voice wasn't in the rains. And the thunder came. His voice wasn't a thunder, but when everything quieted down, there's a still soft voice speaking direction and saying, go and overcome. And our whole goal here is for you to find the path that God already laid in your heart. That's it. That's our job, is that you would find that path and find that voice of God, and that's salvation. That you start believing that he is in you and believing that the voice that you hear is him. We second guess that voice all the time. Because like Pastor said, the voices and all the worries and all the fears come in and we start listening to those voices instead of the calm, collected voice of God. Because, you know, repentance requires self-control. It requires it. Repentance, which means change the way you think, requires us to have fruit. And, you know, we have all the wisdom, all the knowledge in us. We've been preached to, and it's all in there. It's in there. We just got to start practicing self-control. Stop letting ourselves think the worst in every situation. Have peace and joy in our hearts and trust God in us. Jesus said this. He said, Rabbi, I said, don't call me Rabbi. You have no teacher other than God. Now, he sent men to give us this truth, but our goal is to bring you to God so that he can teach you. And we can release you to him and let him guide your steps. Because when he guides your steps, like Pastor was saying, every desire in you, every hope in you is fulfilled. But when we guide our steps, fear, worry, and anxiety, and all these things overtake us, and we're searching for somebody else to help us, meanwhile, God's saying, listen, comfort yourself. Comfort yourself with truth. Start practicing self-control. You don't have to run here and there, because most of the time we don't run to the right place. We get help from other places that we shouldn't be looking for. Calling your friend who's in trouble. Calling your friend who has issues. Calling this person who has issues. Trying to get confirmation. Trying to get the direction that you think you should be going. Instead of just waiting for God, finding that still, soft voice and feeling the conviction of the direction and believing that conviction beyond all fear, worry, and anxiety. That's what we're trying to do here. That's the goal of this ministry, is that you would find that voice and find that path and trust God yourself. And if you do that, then we did our job. Amen. Our job is finished. And you belong to him like we belong to him. There's no difference. You are us and we are you. Same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in every single one of us. And that's the truth. God is in you. And all he wants is a relationship with you. So let's quiet the voices in our minds. Let's quiet these fears and these worries and stop letting them take us to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Running you here, worried about this. Running you there, worried about that. Sit back and relax and enjoy your life. And just listen to God tell you how much he loves you. That still soft voice is often saying, I love you. Don't worry, I still love you. It's all going to work out. You might not have the exact plan of how it's going to work, but be comforted because I'm with you. So be at peace. Amen? Amen.
You can stay up here with me. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for one. You know, I'm kind of grateful that we have and the internet, we're just closing off, so it's a perfect time right now because